we're looking for a place to bury our grandson. And I told her, and the other preacher told her how sorry we were and what a hard thing that is to do, and how much that we wished that that hadn't happened. The other minister went to try to find somebody that might could help her. And as he was gone, she says, "I'm so happy that you're a person of faith. I'm a person of faith, but I just don't understand how God could take a child that was going to be so loved and so cared for." Two relationships that you got to have in order to be a success in life. You have to have a relationship with God, which is R1. If you don't have that relationship with God, you've missed the boat. The second relationship you have to have is with others. So you have to have R1 plus R2, and that is going to equal success in your life. I had the opportunity to do a funeral for a dear friend of mine yesterday, and one of the things about her is she never amassed wealth. She never hit the peak of some kind of job. She never, ever had a lot of money. But one of the things I can tell you about this woman, she was a true success because in her life she had that relationship with God and she had that relationship with others. And I want all of us to have a time in heaven where we can be reunited with the friends and the people that we know that are brothers in Christ in heaven. Amen? A lot of people don't realize that you need to have friends, but I'm going to tell you this. One of the keys to the Christian life is having close friendships. Write that down in your notes. I didn't put that in your notes, but I think it's so important for you to know. One of the keys to being a Christian is having close friends. And the reason why I want you to know that is because a lot of us in this body of believers, we come in and we're a part of the worship service and we're a part of what's going on around us. And when there's a fellowship, we're part of a group, but we all need close friends. I have two friends, Chuck Craig and Steve Santa Anna. And I've known them for years. But what's really interesting about that is we went to church together, and then we decided we were going to have lunch together every single Friday. And every Friday, I drove down to meet them, and we would get together for lunch. They worked at the same building, so they could ride together. We would get together for lunch, and you know what? For months, all we did is talk about work, and we talked about family, and we talked about sports, and we talked about everything under the sun, until one day somebody had a Bible question and they looked at me like I had the answer. And I was young and dumb, and I thought I had to have the answer to everything too. And I went home and I found the answer to that question. And from that day forward, our lunches on Friday were about spiritual things. And I would not be standing in front of you today if it weren't for those lunches. I'm here to tell you that God designed you to have close friends, people who are walking with you as Christians. And if you don't have those close relationships, it's time to find them. I've had people say, "Well, Neil, why do I need friends?" And I know that some of you are thinking, "I'm just fine. It's my family and me. They're my friends, and I want you to be friends with your family." If you're not friends with your family, you may want to start working on that. But if you've got your family situation taken care of, maybe it's time to start working outside of your family and having some people in your life that are not your family that you can be friends with. And here's the reason why. Number one is for spiritual growth. You've got to have that for spiritual growth. And I have had people tell me, "My relationship is between me and God and nobody else." I've had people in the church tell me that. I've had a lot of people outside of the church tell me that. But I've had people in the church tell me, "My relationship is between me and God and nobody else." And I'm here to tell you that that does not make sense. You cannot be a lone ranger in your walk with God. And by the way, in case you forgot, the lone ranger, he had Tonto. So you cannot do this by yourself. You need to have somebody in your life. Romans 1 and verse 12 says, I mean that I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Underline these words. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. You see, there's a big difference between coming in here on Sunday morning and hearing God's word and knowing about the Holy Spirit being in your life and knowing about the inerrant word of God and how it's inspired by God. There's a big difference between knowing those things and living them out. And a lot of times you have to be able to live those things out with other people. There's a bunch of verses in there that says about one another. If you just have time today, just Google one another in the Bible and it'll come up with a bunch of verses, and you have to have somebody in order to do that with. The second thing is you need it for emotional support. You need friendship for emotional support. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to need somebody that can support you emotionally. Now, I want you to understand there are two kinds of people in your life right now. There are VDPs. You can write that down, VDPs. And then there are VIPs in your life. And the VDPs are people, are very draining people. You can just put that down, very draining people. And then there's the VIPs, and they're very inspirational people. And if you don't have somebody in your life that's an inspiration to you, somebody that can pick you up when you are down, you're not going to be able to walk on this earth for too long. I was talking with Nancy the other day, and we were talking about one of her coworkers. One of the nice things about Nancy working at home is I can listen to her conversations. And one of the bad things about working at home is I can listen to her conversations. And we were talking about one particular person that's a friend of hers. She's a sweet lady, very kind lady. But I listened to Nancy with her on the phone several times, and I said, you know, you need to be careful about talking to that person because that person brings you down. She is a very draining person. And if you keep hanging out with very draining people, guess what you're going to become? Just like them. And so you need somebody in your life that's inspirational. Look at Galatians 6:2. It says, carry each other's burdens. And this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Underline those words, carry each other's burdens. And then underline, fulfill the law of Christ. You see, a lot of times we think about the fact that the law has to do with baptism. The law has to do with partaking of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. The law has to do with how we do things in our worship service or how the church is led. Let me tell you what the law of Christ is about. It's about carrying each other's burdens. And the only way you're going to carry each other's burdens is by having a relationship with them. I got a call from Neil and Carrie Pomerinke this morning, and it just thrills me that they're working with the church and working with the youth. But what really thrilled me this morning is they called me this morning just to check on me to see how I was doing, to make sure I was doing okay. You see, we bear each other's burdens that way, but the only way to do that is if you have those close relationships, and those close relationships don't happen by accident. Number three, the third reason why you need a friend is because of better health. You need better health. And you say, well, Neil, what does having friendship has to do with better health? Well, I can give you all kinds of study. I can tell you all kinds of statistics about people who have friends that are active with other people, how their health is so much better. And I can do that, but I got the scriptures that just tell us how it works. It says here, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, underline that those words, confess your sins to each other, and then pray for each other, and so that you may be healed. Underline, be healed. You see, forgiveness comes from God. That God's the one that can forgive us of anything that we've done and all, but it is confession that heals us. Do you realize that sin is the reason why we have to die? We have sin, and therefore that brings about death. But until we have to die, we can live the best life possible by confessing our sins to one another, and by confessing to someone that knows us, that loves us, and that cares for us, and that can keep our confidence, we are able to be healthy. Because we are releasing what is burdening our souls, and in doing so, we can be healthy. Number four, social enjoyment. Social enjoyment. You do not need to go through life just trying to endure life. You need to go through life enjoying life. That some of the greatest moments of my life have been surrounded by other people. I cannot think of times when I have been really alone, and maybe you can try to think of this, where you've been really alone and you've really just enjoyed yourself. Now, I enjoy myself when I am, you know, by myself in the mountains, or sometimes like when I go hiking or do something crazy like swimming by myself. I did some chainsaw work by myself, and I enjoy that. But when I really, really enjoy myself, I'm always with someone else. And you need friends to do that. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 2. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. Underline those words. And if you think you're a lone ranger and you don't need people, I'm good enough by myself. The Bible says and clearly says it is not good for man to be alone. One of the things that I was talking to my son about was these school shootings and mass shootings that take place. And almost every instance of that, these people were loners. And they felt like the world was against them. Number five, accomplishing work. Accomplishing work. You need friends to help accomplish work. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Now, I know some of you are like Glenn Presser, and Glenn, I know you're watching, so I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say to your face. Glenn really, really likes to be by himself when he works. He gets frustrated because of the fact that you don't do it his way. But I'm going to tell you this, Glenn, listen up here, buddy. If you have two people working together, you're going to get more done, even if they don't do it your way. And we need to realize that we need friends in order to accomplish work. Well, I did that funeral yesterday, and one of the things, one of my comments yesterday is so true. And I want you to write this down in your notes. We all have the need to be loved and to love. We all have the need to love and be loved. And when you start realizing that, it's not about just making enough money to have a nice place to live. When you realize that it's not about the next promotion you get, when you realize it's not about what foods you eat, that one of the bottom line things that you need as a person, whether you're a Christian or not, you have a desire inside of your heart, a God-placed desire in your heart to be loved and to love. And when you realize that, you will realize you have a need to be a friend. Well, you're asking, well, how can I be a friend if you're not one of those people that has a lot of friends? You say, well, how do I do this? And my challenge for you is some of you this morning say, well, I have friends. I have friends. Well, my challenge for you this morning is make some new friends. Don't hang on to the ones that you've always had. Start making some new friends. Make some people in your life that need a friend that you can love and they can love you. So Matthew 7, verse 12 is the key to all of this. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Underline those words, do to others what you would have them do to you. And then underline law and prophets and write down beside law and prophets the Bible. The Bible says you can sum up, this scripture says you can sum up the Bible by doing to others what you would have them do to you. And how does that work? Well, it first works by putting in the work. By putting in the work. That's the way this is going to work. How do you do to others? You've got to put in the work. And right beside that, I don't have this in the slides, but right beside work, write the word time, T-I-M-E. Because in order to put in the work, you've got to put in the time. We were talking in class this morning. We were talking about a time where Nathan, some of the people in class that were just totally amazed at the fact that I knew about a game, a magic card game that Nathan plays. They were just totally impressed about that. And they said, how did you know that? And Nathan and I had a chance to spend 2 hours together one day, and I learned about that card game by spending time with him. You've got to invest time in others if you want to have a friendship. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Underline those words. If you're a grouchy person, you're not going to have many friends. But if you are friendly, then you will have friends. And then it goes on to say, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, do not be interested only in your own or in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. Are you truly interested in others? We're getting ready to start life groups on February the 13th, and I know that that's Super Bowl Sunday, but that's going to be our start date because that's the way we've got it planned. The NFL messed up the plan, and so we're still sticking with our plan. Used to be the Super Bowl Sunday was on the first Sunday of February. They moved it to the second Sunday, and I'm not changing anything for the NFL. There you go. But if you're here today and you're not a member of a life group, and you say, well, I've got all my friends in other places, I'm here to tell you that you need to get to be a part of a life group. And in order to be a part of a life group, you've got to become interested in other people, and you're going to have to be a friend in order to have friends. And that just means, number one, showing up for a life group. And if you're here today and you're not a member of the life group, I would suggest that you go home. First of all, you pray to God to help you find the right life group. Secondly, you need to repent for not being in one after we've told you over and over you need to be in one. So, the second thing you need to do is you need to earn their trust. You need to earn their trust. It says many people claim to be loyal, but it's hard to find a trustworthy person. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't trust somebody you know, they're not your friends. The only friends, true friends you have are people that you trust. And if you don't trust someone, they're not a friend, they're just an acquaintance. And you need to earn people's trust. And I've got this in your note, or I don't have this in your notes, but I want you to write these words down. Number one, be reliable. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Take whatever measures to do it, but be reliable. Don't be flaky on others. Number two, be loyal to people. Be loyal to people. If somebody tells you something in secret and asks you to keep it a secret, be loyal to them. And that goes with number three, which is keep confidence. Keep confidence. And there's so much more to this, but I didn't have enough time to write it all down. Number three, listen with empathy. Listen with empathy. And I'm going to tell you, this is hard to do. Because we all have so much going on in our lives. We've got so much information that's coming at us. But to just sit and listen with empathy is a very difficult thing to do. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Underline quick to listen. I was at the cemetery yesterday afternoon, and I got to tell you, I just saw God showing up over and over again yesterday. Different conversations, different things that were happening, and I just watched God show up. I was leaving, and I was running a little late because I was trying to get over to the hospital to see Glenn before it got too late because his daughter was waiting on me to leave. And as I was standing there saying goodbye to one of the preachers that was there for the funeral, I was saying goodbye to him, and a car pulled up, and because I had on a black suit and a tie, she says, "Do you work here?" And I looked at her and I said, "No, I just dress like I work here," and smiled at her. And she looked at me and she says, "Are you joking?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I really don't work here. I'm a minister and we were just doing a little service over here." And she says, "I am so sorry." She says, "We're looking for a place to bury our grandson." And I told her, and the other preacher told her, how sorry we were and what a hard thing that is to do and how much that we wished that that hadn't happened. The other minister went to try to find somebody that might could help her. And as he was gone, she says, "I'm so happy that you're a person of faith. I'm a person of faith, but I just don't understand how God could take a child that was going to be so loved and so cared for." And I looked at her, and this is not my words, this is God showing up, and said, "I don't understand either, and I am so sorry that this has happened, but don't forget that God is good and he has a purpose. And one day it will be revealed." And she had tears in her eyes. And she looked at me and she says, "You don't know how badly I needed to hear that." But you have to listen with empathy when others are talking to you. Romans chapter 15 and verse 2, "For we must bear the burdens of be considerate of the doubts and fears of others, of those who feel things are wrong. Let's please the other fellow, not ourselves, and do what is good, and thus build him up in the Lord." Life groups are the place where you can put your fears out there. Life groups are the place where you can put your doubts out there, having those friendships, those connections with people, where you can love each other through bad times. But in order to do that, you have to listen with empathy. The fourth thing you need is you need to accept their faults. You need to accept their faults. It says, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." All of us in this room will agree with one thing, and I want a hefty amen on this, so listen up. I'm not perfect. Okay, now I want an even heftier amen on this. You're not perfect either. Oh, you are so weak. You are so weak. But you know what? Before I ever did that, I knew what was going to happen, because it is real easy to say amen about Neil Farr not being perfect. But it is very difficult to say amen when I'm thinking I'm not perfect. But the truth of the reality of it is, the truth of the matter is there's no one in here is perfect, and we have all been accepted by Christ Jesus, but despite our failures and despite our shortcomings. And if you're going to get close to anyone, you need to realize that they are going to have faults, they are going to have failures, they are going to have sin in their life. And when you start realizing that about people and realizing not everybody is on the same page when it comes to their walk with God, you're going to be a much happier person because you're not going to go around and be frustrated with people all the time. One of the greatest things that I learned as I've been studying discipleship is that very fact, is that some people are infants in their walk with God, some people are adolescents, some people are young adults, and some people are parents in their walk with God. And some people are actually dead when it comes to their walk with God because they've never been quickened by the Holy Spirit. And so when you recognize that people are at different stages of their life, it makes it a lot easier to deal with people. Now the frustration is they can be the same age as I am, but they may not be where I am spiritually. Or they can be younger than me and they can be ahead of me spiritually. And whatever the case may be, is they're all imperfect people trying to reach the goal of heaven. And when you realize where they are spiritually, you can accept their faults. Proverbs 17:9 says, love forgives mistakes. And I love this. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. No nagging this week. Just write down beside that, no nagging this week. And Nancy, I promise not to nag you this week. Number five, know what makes them cry and what makes them laugh. Know what makes them cry and what makes them laugh. I was part of a great life group this past year, and it's just been a wonderful time for us to be together. And one of the things that I've noticed in that life group is just about every single week we spent time laughing. And then there were some other weeks where we expressed some hurts, some tragedies, that we cried together. And when you know what makes somebody laugh and you know what makes somebody cry, you know what their biggest hurts are, their biggest fears are, and their biggest joys are, then you know that person. And I'm here to tell you, you have to know that. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Number six, bring out their best. Bring out their best. If you want to be a friend, if you want to have friends, you need to learn to bring out the best. It says in Proverbs 27 and verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. My job is to bring out the best in you. But guess what? You have a job too. You are to bring out the best in me. We're not on this earth by ourselves trying to figure it out. God gave us a church family. The other night we were walking, Patty Bass and Sandy West and I, we were walking out of Bonefish. We had had dinner together Wednesday night before service, and we were walking out. And this guy was coming at the door at the same time I was, and he says, oh, no, you go ahead. You go with your family. And I just jokingly looked at him and said, that's not my family. I don't know those people, which was highly offensive to Sandy and Patty, which I guess I understand, but I was trying to be funny. Well, I was quickly in the parking lot, scolded by Patty Bass and told how wrong that was and how we were a family and we couldn't say that kind of thing. And so today I am in front of all of you, I am repenting of my sin, and I am here to tell you that Patty is my family, and I guess I'll walk outside with her next time. My point being is we are here to make each other better. I am better because of my family, and you are better because of your family. And I'm not talking about your biological family, I'm talking about your church family. We are here to build each other up in love. One of the ways that we do that each Sunday is we sing an invitation song. And I was a kid, and back when I was a kid, I could stare at my dad while he was preaching. He's not like me, okay? Y'all wonder why I move around. The reason why I move around is because if I'm moving around and you're still looking over here, I know I've lost you. So I learned that a long time ago. But my dad, he stood here and he preached from right here. So all I had to do is put my gaze right where he was. And I could look where he was, and I could be in the Bahamas for all he knew. And sometimes he, on the way home, he would say, "Neil, what did you get out of the sermon today?" "Sin is wrong, Dad." I didn't listen. But one of the things they did, which was so cool back then, it was before they had slides, is they had songbooks, and they had wooden song racks, songbook racks. And those of you who've been in the church, you know the sound I'm talking about, that you would take those songbooks. You know it was invitation time because you'd hear those songbooks rubbing on that wood. And that would bring me out of my trance. And I would know it's time to stand up and sing. We don't have that today. But I do know that some of you, when we sing an invitation song, we think, "Oh, it's time to sing." And we don't consider what this is all about. It's kind of like communion. Sometimes communion should be such an important and deep part of what we're worshiping, how we're worshiping, and what we're doing. But because we do it so often, sometimes our mind may have an opportunity to wander and think about some other things. But when we sing this invitation song, it's about making each one of us better. It's about bringing out our best. For the longest time, I always thought the invitation song was for those mean sinners that did something terrible wrong, and they had to go forward and be embarrassed by the whole church, and they had to cry, and they had to do all this stuff because they were such mean, evil people. And that's the way you fix people, is you just embarrass them. But as I've gotten older and hopefully a little wiser, I realize the invitation song is what it's always been, and that's an invitation to be better than I was yesterday. And as we sing this invitation song, don't think it's for somebody else. This invitation song is for everybody in here, because everybody in here has something they need to work on, some way they need to improve. So as we sing the invitation song today, if you need to come forward in a public way and confess sin, we're not going to shame you. We're going to love you. If you need to come forward today and declare Christ as your Savior and be buried with Him in baptism, we're going to celebrate in a big way. And if you come forward today just because you need the prayers of the church, we're going to love you and we're going to pray for you. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.